Today's shiur is Masechta Metziyah Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, four lines from the top. Gufa. Royas and Rots and Acham Tziyah. As we discussed in the Mishnah and the Gemara in the previous shiur, the halacha of Kinyan Chatzar, and the Mishnah taught us that a Metziyah could become mine if it's in my Chatzar. If it's the type of metziah that I could catch, it's a bird that can't fly away, an animal that can't run away. So the Gemara picks up a point that we discussed. Amar b'yumi, Amar b'yoychran, v'hu shirotz achron umagiyon. In order that the kinyan chatzah should be effective, it has to be something that we could catch. Boy b'yumi, so b'yumi asked, b'matanahech. Perhaps, as the Gemara suggested, that's only by a metziah. In order for my chatzar to be zoichin a metziah on my behalf, it has to be a situation where I can actually seize that metziah. But what would be the halacha if it's something that was given to me and placed in my chatzar? There, perhaps, it's not. We don't have that limitation. We don't have the limitation that I have to be standing next to the chatzar, as we discussed in the previous year. Says the Gemara, Kivel Menei Rab Abba Bakahana. So Rab Abba Bakahana indeed accepted Rab Yirmiyah's distinction, and he said, Abish Rotzach Rein Veinim Agiyam, even if he can't catch it, if it's a matana, his chatzar will be zoichet. Although the Rishonim do point out, it has to be that I could eventually catch it. If it's such an item that even I can never get my hands around it, it's an animal that I'll never be able to catch, a bird that I'll never be able to catch, then there won't be a kinyan. Talking that I could ultimately catch it. So now, boy rova, zarek anaki v'pesach zeh v'yotzu v'pesach achar. Somebody's giving me a wallet, and he throws it through my chotzer. Will that be, and it doesn't actually land, obviously. What is the halacha? Will there be a kinyan chotzer there or not? Mahu. Avirish ain't soif l'nuach. Since it won't actually land in the chatzar, do we say anyway it's considered kemunach dami, and I coin it, oiloi, or not? Omle Rav Papa le Rav Rava, Varmle Rav Adava Masna le Rava, Varmle Ravina le Rava, Lav Hainim Misnissen, isn't this what we just learned? That our Mishnah said, Ra'oison Rotzen Acha Metziah. If we saw people running after Metziah, Varm Rav Yirmi, Amar Rav Yoichran, it has to be a situation that I could be able to catch it. Well, by Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah said, as we learned in the previous year and today's shiur, b'matanaheich, would the same halacha apply by a matana? V'kibel minei Rab Abba Bar Kahana. Rab Abba Bar Kahana accepted that by matana, ab b'shirotz achreim ve'en magiyan, that even though you won't be able to catch it, since there's a giver and a taker, the Gemara called it yesterday, Das Acheres Makna Oison, then you don't have to have this requirement that you should have to be able to catch it. So isn't that an answer to the question that if I threw the wallet into your chatzar, even though it didn't land, it becomes yours? Amalei, so responded, in the cases that we were speaking about, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Abba Kahana, although you didn't catch it, but at least it was on the floor. Misgalgal karmet, it was landing on the floor. Here, however, shining misgalgal the kemunach dami, because it's on the floor, and there's a matana, there's a giver and a taker, that's why it's considered it becomes yours. But here we're discussing a situation where it's flying. That's totally a different situation, and there the halacha may be that there is no kinyan chatzar. So I sort of mefarshim ask, we learned in Masechta Shabbos the concept of kluta kemishon and chadami, that if something is flying through a chatzar, even though it didn't actually land, it's considered like it came to rest. So ask the Mefarshim, isn't this Gemara the same sugya as kluta kemishon and chadami? And we don't find that our Gemara mentions the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. So Mefarshim answer that two totally different concepts at work here. By Hilcha Shabbos, as we've mentioned many times, The issue is that you have to have an Akira and a Hanocha. And now the question is, Kluta, if it's just over the Rishus HaYochid, is that considered like you had the Hanocha or not? In Kinyan Chotzer, It's a totally different factor that needs to be considered. As we discussed in the previous year, the factor that we need to consider is this in a chotzer mishtameris or not? Chotzer mishtameris is what we need to have in order to affect the kinyan. And now the Gemara's question is, if something's flying over the chotzer, is that considered chotzer mishtameris? So it's totally two different concepts, and that's why the Gemara doesn't speak about one together with the other. Says the Mishnah, Metzias b'noi ubito ektanim. If somebody's young children, Metzias abde v'shivchosa ektanim, or somebody's evident shivka kananis, Metzias, and as the Rishonim point out, even if one is not supporting the Eved or the Shifcha Kanani, the Metzias that they find belong to the owner. Metzias Ishtoi, if somebody's wife finds a Metzia, Chazal were concerned for Eva. And as Mefarshim explained Eva in two ways. One way I saw that they explain Eva is that if a wife's going to find a Metzia and she won't have to turn over to the husband, it'll cause a problem with Shalom Bayis, perhaps. That's why Chazal said that the Metzia that the wife finds should be turned over to the husband. Or another pshat I saw is interesting pshat. If the halacha will be that a Metzia that a wife finds, she could keep for herself, we could end up in a very difficult place. A wife will take an item that belongs to the husband, and she'll say, it's not the husband, I found it. And now they'll have machlokes. Was it the husband's or was it something she found? But if the din is that even if she finds something, she has to turn it over to the husband, so there's no problem, she'll turn it over to the husband anyway. Metzias b'noi bita egdoilim. However, the metzia of one's adult children, metzia avde v'shivchase ha'ivrim, one's eved ivri, and here the Rishonim point out that even if one is supporting his eved ivri or his ama avriya, it makes no difference, the metzias remain theirs. Metzias ishtay shegirsha, if he divorced his wife, abishloi nosen ksuba, and the Gemara will explain all of these cases, including this case. And those in this group, harei shalahan, they keep their own metzias. Om Shmuel begins the Gemara. Memnei ma omru metzias katan l'aviv. Why did Chazal say that if a katan finds a metzia, it belongs to his father? And as the Rishonim point out, most Rishonim say that Shmuel's question is speaking to a boy. Why did Chazal say that if a young boy found a metzia, does it get turned over to the father? Why a young girl's metzia would be turned over to the father? There's a debate amongst the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, because the Torah says, Benureho Beisavya, that anything a girl finds, anything a girl earns as a nara, and certainly as a ketana, she has to turn over to her father. Or other Rishonim say, concept that the Gemara says many times, since the father has a right to marry off a daughter to whom he wants, hoyel v'yoch l'masra l'menuvel l'mukushchin, that gives the father a lot of authority, and therefore the metzias of a ketana will belong to the father. Our Gemara is discussing the metzias of a katan. Om Shmuel, v'nei ma'amru metzias katan l'aviv, why did Chazal say the metzias of a katan belongs to his father? Says the Gemara, shebishar shemaitza meritza etzel aviv. Because when he finds it, he takes it to his father. The ena ma'ach b'yodai. He doesn't keep it for himself. So that's why Chazal said that it goes to the father. And the Gemara right away tries to analyze what this means. Says the Gemara, lememra, it seems that what Shmuel is saying, lememra, the sova Shmuel, cotton, lesa ischil anafshim deraisa. And the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is as follows. If midaraisa, what a cotton found, really belonged to the cotton, the fact that a cotton has a tendency to bring what he finds to his father shouldn't make a difference. What must be the basis of what Shmuel says? The basis of what he says is that a cotton midaraisa is not soichin anything anyway. So since midaraisa is not soichin the item, therefore, given also the fact that he's going to turn it over to his father, coupled with the fact that he's not zoichenet midaraisa. That's why he should give it to the father. That's why most Rishonim explain the Gemara, and that's why we're going to learn the Gemara. There are Rishonim that say that not only does the Gemara mean to say that midaraisa, a cotton, doesn't have the ability to be zoichen something, even with the Rabbanon, he doesn't have the ability. Ask the Gemara, is that indeed the case? For Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Hasoiches poil. Somebody hires a worker. And as we discussed just as recently as yesterday, there are different matnas aniyim that Chazal gives to aniyim when one is working in the field. One of the matnas aniyim is leket. Leket means that if something, if as the worker works on the field, sheaves of grain drop, so if he drops one or two, it goes to the worker. It goes to aniyim, not to the worker. More than one or two don't go to aniyim. So the Braisa discusses a situation of a soicher sapoil, somebody hires a worker, yilaket b'nai akrov. The worker's son, if they're aniyim, could collect the leket. And as the Pnei Yeshua points out, this would only be acceptable, he says this based on the Mishnah in Masechet Peah, this would only be acceptable if it wasn't, so to speak, in a deal made between the owner of the field and the worker, saying that you be the worker and your family will collect the leket. Because then it seems that one is paying his worker with leket, certainly unacceptable. The Braisa is speaking that there's a worker who's a poor individual and his son is allowed to collect the leket behind him. However, continues the Braisa, lemechza l'shish revia, if the worker is not being paid by salary, he's being paid as a sharecropper, lo yilaka b'nai akrov. Then the Tanakhama says the son can't do this. And the way the Rishonim explain, because once the worker is being paid with a percentage, not with a fixed salary, so he is an owner of the field, he becomes like an owner of the field, and since he becomes like an owner of the field, then you can't have your family collecting a field that you own. Others explain that even if the person is not a wealthy person, and a person who's not wealthy is certainly entitled to matnas aniyim, to the field that he's getting a percentage of, he's certainly considered an usher, and therefore he's not entitled to matnas aniyim. Rav Yossi disagrees. He says, no matter what the payment arrangement is, ben kach u ben kat, yilaket b'noi v'ish da'achrav. His son is allowed to collect. V'omishmul, and Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So now the Gemara points out, if we're going to say that cotton has an independent ability to be zoicha, so therefore we can understand, even in a case, so now when the son is collecting, he has his own independent status, and therefore he's collecting for himself. That he now goes and turns it over to his father, that's a separate stage. And therefore it's 100% acceptable. Eli Amr, if we're going to say as Shmuel started this Gemara, the cotton doesn't have an independent status. When he's collecting, he doesn't have an independent identity. He's only collecting on behalf of his father. And his father, Ashehu. So how could that be acceptable? Amai, why is the halacha that ishta benoi malakat akrav, that if somebody's wife and children can collect after him, being even if he's owning percentage of the field? So now we have a problem. What is Shmuel's opinion? From the beginning of our sugya, Shmuel's explanation of our Tana, it seems that a cotton does not have an independent identity, and from this Gemara, from this Braisa by Leket, it seems that he does have an independent identity. Answers the Gemara, Shmuel, Tam de Tana de Dan Kama. Shmuel, as we began this Gemara, was explaining the opinion of our Tana. However, Vele Loi Sfirle, Shmuel doesn't agree with our Tana, because he agrees like Rabbi Yossi that a cotton has independent identity. Ask the Gemara, V'savu Rabbi Yossi, katan isle zechim d'raisa? Is that Rabbi Yossi's opinion? For Tanan, the Mishnah says, Mitzias cherish koyt v'katan if a chereshot of a cotton found something, and then somebody goes and grabs it away from them, so the Tanakhama holds, yesh bem gezel m'dei da kisholim, the midaraisa, you're not a gazlan. Why are you not a gazlan midaraisa? Because a cotton, chereshot of a cotton, don't have the ability to be kind of something. You could only be a gazlan if you steal it from somebody who really owns it. He's not really owning it. It's only that Chazal said that it's gezel midrabanan neidak shalom. You could have anarchy if people are just going to go grab away everything that a chereshot of a cotton own. Rav Yosi Omer, gezel gomer. That it is considered gezel. However, for Omer Rav Chizda comments, what does Rav Yosi mean? It means gezel gomer midavrayim. It's only gezel midrabanan. Rav Yosi agrees, says Rav Chizda, that a cotton doesn't have an independent identity. So what is the nafka mean between the Tanakam and Rav Yosi, according to Rav Chizda's explanation of Rav Yosi? Nafka mean aloy tziba diyonim. Could you take somebody to Beis Din when he grabbed something away from a chereshot of a cotton? If he grabbed a metzia away from a chereshot of a cotton? According to the Tanakam, that it's only because of gezel medevrayim, mibnei daki sholem. So you shouldn't do it, but it's not enforceable by Beis Din. According to Rabbi Yossi, that it's gezel gomer midrabanan, it's enforceable in Beis Din. But it's obvious that even Rabbi Yossi agrees that a cotton doesn't have his own independent identity, and therefore when he picks up a mitzia, midaraisa doesn't become his. Elam Abaya. So Abaya goes back and says, everybody agrees that a cotton doesn't have his own identity. And therefore, the halacha is that in our mission, it's very understandable why when a cotton picks something up, it goes to his father. But now we have a problem. Why is the halacha that a cotton could follow his father and pick up the leket and give it to his father? So says the Gemara, it's a whole different reason. Ela Amar Abaya, Asu Asur Kimisha Hokuba Namushas. The question comes up, which is discussed in the Mishnayis, Masechta Peya. We have a field. The matnas anim in the field belong to the anim. At what point do those matnas anim no longer be considered matnas anim, and that anybody can walk into the field and take it? So the halacha is namushas. Namushas are the stragglers, the last people. Once they go through the field and they leave, everything in the field anybody could take. Says the Gemara that as far, if somebody has a worker who's a poor individual, Chazal treat that field as if it's after the Namushas, and that even though his son should not be allowed to take it, because he's an owner in the field, he has a percentage in the field, Chazal treated it that way. Elam Abaya, Asu Kamisha Hochaba Namushas, because the Aniyim Gufayu Mesich Datayu. The Aniyim aren't going to go after this field, because they believe that this field is going to go strictly to the son. The Neim Gufay Masach Datayu Savri Brida Haich Malakdele. The son himself will pick it up. Amalei Rav Adba Maslabaya. Ask the Gemara. We don't. This doesn't make sense. V'chimuta LaAdam LaHarbitz Ari B'Toych Sadeu Kidei Shiur Aniim V'Yivrchu. What we're saying here is as follows: the Aniim are Mesiach Das from this field. Why are they Mesiach Das from the field? What do they give up on this field? Because they assume that everything in this field is going to be collected by the son of the sharecropper. So they say there's no hope here. So what it means is, let's say we have a worker in the field, and he wants to keep everybody away. So take a wild dog, or take a lion, and keep everybody away. Is that permissible? Of course not. So why are we permitting this? Says the Gemara, a different explanation. Ela Amarova, a suish ain't a zoicha, kezoicha. By right, the son should not have any more rights than anyone else. However, Chazal treated the son of the worker preferentially. Because why? My Tama, aniim gefayu nichluhu. The aniim themselves are satisfied with such an arrangement. Because they say, tikihecha dikiagrulatu nilka benai basrayu. What it means is as follows. This is the way most Rishonim explain. The Aniim have an unwritten deal amongst themselves. When one Ani is working in a field, we'll back off from that field and let the family of that Ani collect the Matnas Aniim from that field. So when the other Aniim get their field, when the other Aniyim get their field that they'll work on, all the other Aniyim will back off from their field. So like that, they have an arrangement amongst themselves, unwritten understanding that everybody will back off from each other. That's what most Rishonim learned. The Ritva learns that it works with Hefker, that all the Aniyim in the world, because they want to let this Ani, who's already working in the field, get the leket for his family, Chazal will mafker it, that it should become like Hefker, and that this Ani and his family should be able to pick it up first. Actually, I saw that the Shor Mitzrayim Halacha says that this concept is used in Halacha in other areas. It's not the minig in most shuls nowadays, but if one would look into Shulchan Aruch, it seems that the minig that we have, that if there are numerous Aveilim, they all say Kaddish, was not really the minig originally. The minig was that every Kaddish was only said by one individual, and there's a list of who has priority, a yard site, a shloishim, different levels. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses, let's say somebody comes to the shul, and he's not a member of the shul, but he's never chanovel, and he wants a kaddish. So the halacha is that he gets a kaddish. I, the member, should say, you're not a member here. So say the poiskim, there's an unwritten understanding. That just like when the aveilim come to the shul, who are not members of this shul, they still want to get the kaddish. Why should the members allow him to say kaddish? Because when these members will go to shul with their non-members and need to say a kaddish, they should have the opportunity to be able to say kaddish. Similar concept, they have an understanding between themselves. This explanation of our Mishnah that we've been explaining till now, that Shmuel's explanation of our Mishnah is that we're referring to a cotton mamish, is not the way Rav Chiya bar Abba explained it. Dom Rav Chiya bar Abba Omer Rav Yochanan, loy godl mamish, loy cotton mamish. When our Mishnah speaks about a godl or a cotton, it doesn't really mean an adult or a child. Rather, godl v'samach al shulchan aviv. If somebody's a godl, but he's still living by his parents, zeo cotton, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, that's a cotton, and his mitziah goes to his father. Cotton, v'ain is samach al shulchan aviv. But if somebody's a child, but he's not being supported by his parents, zeo godl, and he keeps his own mitziahs. The Rishonim debate based on this Gemara a number of very interesting shailas. One shaila will be our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan is paskening that if there's an adult, but he's living by his parents, but he's supported by his parents, his mitzias go to his parents. What about his earnings? Question comes up very often. You have a girl or a boy who is earning money already, but they're being supported by the parents, they're living by the parents. Do the parents have the right, halachically, to receive what they earn? Machlokes Rishonim, there are more paskins that halachically the parents have a right to demand that they turn over their wages to the parents. Similar shaila is regarding gifts. If a katan who samach al shulchan aviv receives a gift, does that gift go to the parent or not? Question comes up very often. If a child becomes bar mitzvah and he gets bar mitzvah gifts, but he's living by his parents, he's being supported by his parents, halachically, do the parents have a right to demand that they should receive the bar mitzvah gifts? Again, machlokes Rishonim. Tosfos quotes another machlokes Rishonim. The halacha is, we know that if somebody makes an erev, he has to be mezaka, somebody has to make a kinyan in the erev if anybody wants to use the erev. So Tosfos points out that if somebody has at home a child who's a godel, and he makes an Erev, and he wants to be mezakeh the Erev for other people that they could use that Erev. So he asks his adult child, pick up the Erev and be zoichen it for everyone else. So Tais says, perhaps it won't work. Because a godl asamach ha-shulchan aviv is not considered an independent individual. Rebbeinu Tam disagrees. I saw a number of very interesting shailas around this Gemara. Certainly the Paiskim say that samach ha-shulchan aviv doesn't require him to be physically in his parents' home. That means if you have a child who's not living at home, he's in yeshiva, but his parents are paying the tuition, his parents are supporting him, he's certainly considered samuch al shulchan aviv. Another child that I saw is, what is the halacha if you have a son-in-law who's being supported by a father-in-law. Is that considered samuch al shulchan aviv? Many paiskim say, of course. Why is it any different? Some paiskim, however, want to suggest that since he's not being supported because it's a parent supporting a child, it's because there was some sort of an arrangement that they agreed that the father-in-law will support the son-in-law. That's not considered what samuch al shulchan aviv al gemara uses. Agamar means samach l'shulchan aviv when a parent is supporting a child because the parent wants to support the child. Ramosha discusses an interesting shaila. The shaila Ramosha discusses is if someone, you have a child and his father is supported by his father. So the question is, now this child earns money. So there are three options. One option is that he's not considered samach al shulchan aviv, because his father's not giving him, it's his grandfather that's supporting the family. Another option is that he is considered samach al shulchan aviv. The fact that he is being supported by his father. The fact that his father has an arrangement with his father or father-in-law has nothing to do with the grandson. The grandson is being supported by his father. And that is actually what Rav Moshe paskins. He says that he is considered samach al shulchan aviv, because he's being supported by his father, even though his father is being supported by the grandfather, that has nothing to do with him. I saw some other interesting piskei halakha. This was very common in Europe, the first shaila. There was a child learning in yeshiva, and the parents weren't paying tuition. They weren't able to pay tuition. And then the child earned some money. Does the yeshiva have a right to say that they can't get the money from the parents don't have, but since the child earned money, the child should have to turn over to the yeshiva the tuition that is owed? So the paiskim say that the din of samach al shulchan aviv is strictly between a child and a father. It's between a child and a yeshiva, and the yeshiva cannot demand that the child has to pay that tuition. Another interesting shaila is the following situation. There was a father, again, who was in a bad way economically, and he wasn't able to pay off his debts. But he has children who are earning money and are living in his home. But he isn't asking his children, as we discussed a couple of moments ago, to turn over their wages to him. Could the Bali Chayiv, could the people who the father owes money to, say to the father, halachically, you have a right to demand that your daughter, turn over their wages to you? And since you have that halachic right to make that demand, we're requiring you to do that, and in order you should be able to pay off your debt. Or one has nothing to do with the other. The Pais can say one has nothing to do with the other. A father could choose not to demand that his son or daughter, who he's supporting, turn over their wages to him, even if it means that he won't be able to pay off his debts. The Mefarshim, the Gra, and others say that we find this concept, this difference between samach al shulchan aviv versus not samach al shulchan aviv, we find it in Chumash also. We know that the moon is called Hamor HaKotn, Parashat Bereishis, and the sun is called Mor HaGadol. Why? So the Mefarshim say, the Gra says this, the moon doesn't have its own light. It reflects off the sun's light. Here we're saying that somebody who's samach al shulchan aviv, somebody who's relying on somebody else, is called a cotton. The sun, on the other hand, that's why it's called a mara cotton. The sun, on the other hand, has its own light. It's not relying on someone else, and that's why it's called mar hagadol. Similarly, the Yismach Moshe explains, that's why we find that the Torah calls Binyamin b'nai hakotten. When Binyamin came to meet Yosef, the Torah calls him the Benoy HaKotn. Binyamin was 31 years old at that time. Binyamin, we know, when he came to Mitzrayim, had 10 sons. He wasn't a child. Why is he called Benoy HaKotn? Says the Yismach Moshe, Yaakov, at his great love for Binyamin, because he was his youngest child, and he also reminded him of Yosef, kept Binyamin at home, and he supported Binyamin. Binyamin ate by Yaakov. So even though Binyamin was an adult, and he had his own family already, but since he was living off Yaakov, Samach al Shulchan Aviv, our Gemara says, is called B'nai HaKotan. The B'nai Yisaschar says that this Gemara is also the reason all the Mefarshim ask, why is the Shabbos before Pesach called Shabbos HaGadol? So he says we could explain it based on our Gemara. He says, what's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? He says, Shabbos comes every week. Every week, Shabbos is Shabbos automatically. It has nothing to do with anybody declaring Shabbos being Shabbos. It's going to be Shabbos no matter what. Yontif, we know, depends on Beis Din. When Beis Din declares Rish Chodesh, that's when we'll have Yontif. So the Shabbos before Pesach is where we see the difference between Shabbos and Yontif. Shabbos is Gadol. It's not Samach al Shulchan Aviv. It doesn't depend on anybody else. So we want to say, you know what the difference between Shabbos and Yontif is? Shabbos is Gadol. Doesn't depend on anybody else to make it Shabbos. Whereas Yontif requires Beis Din's declaration. We learned in the Mishnah, Metzias Avdu v'Shevchaser Avriyam Hareishal Atzman. What they find, they keep for themselves. Ask the Gemara, as we learned the other day, Amai Lo Yehel Poyel, why are they worse than a worker? V'Tanya, Metzias Poyel Atzmai, the Metzia of a worker is his own. However, we learned, says the Braisa, where the work was only hired for a specific task, and he finds something, so he keeps it. But as Rashi taught us, we deduct the time he spent finding the Metziah. If the worker was hired, that the entire day belongs to the employer. Their halach is Metzias Labalabayas, and that's certainly the situation of an Eved Ivri. So why does the Eved Ivri keep his own Metzias? Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chiver Abba, Amrav Yochanan, Hacha be'Eved Noikiv Megal Yisuskin. We're talking that the Eved Ivri wasn't hired to be available all the time to work for his owner. He was hired for a specific task. So he's like the worker who has a specific task. The Dina halach is Metzias La'atzma. Shein Rabbi writes to Lishnois L'mlocha Cheres, and therefore he keeps his own Metzias. Rav Amma, Rav says a different teretz. We're going to be a Metzias and Malach do yaskinan. We're referring to an Eved who was able to pick up a Metzias, but it didn't disturb, interfere with his work. When is the halacha that the worker's Metzias, if the worker picks something up, it goes to the owner? Because that time I wasn't working. But if I was working and it didn't interfere with my work, so there the halach is that he keeps it himself. The Papa says a different pshat. Yes, if a worker is hired, the worker keeps his own Metzias. He has to turn over the Metzias. When does he have to turn over the Metzias? In a case where he was specifically, and that's the case of the Brisa, says Rapapa. In a case where he was specifically hired to find Metziah, has a person hired to find the Metziah? The Hechidami, the Atma Agma Bekivri, the ocean is overflowing, the river is overflowing, and there are a lot of fish to be caught. So that all those fish are Metziahs. So if a worker is hired specifically for that job, then the Metziah belongs to the owner. Otherwise, the Metziah doesn't belong to the owner. So the two very important points that the Mefarshim make. Make more, we'll mention two. One is that the Tosfos Rosh asks, obviously, if the Braisa is referring, according to Rapapa, to a situation where he was specifically hired to collect Metzias, so of course the Metzias goes to the owner. What do I need the Braisa to tell me that? So the Tosfos Rosh says, the Braisa is telling me a gewaltige chiddush. The Braisa is telling me as follows. Let's say he was hired to find Metzias, the fish, but he finds a different Metzias. That wasn't the Metzia he was hired for. What would be the din? And the Braisa is teaching us that then the din would be that he has to still give over any Metzia, even though it's not the fish, to the owner. Rav Shimon Shkop explains that we have here a very fundamental machlokes between Rapapa and the other Amaron. Rapapa says that a worker doesn't really have to give his Metzia to his owner unless he was specifically hired for that job. The other Amaron say they do. What is the basis of the machlokes? So says Rav Shimon, that everybody agrees that the mas yadayim, the earnings of a worker, belong to the owner. The question is, in what category do we put a metziah? Rav Papa says that a metziah is not in the category of Masi Yadayim. And even though Masi Yadayim belong to the owner, that has nothing to do with metziah. Versus the other Marim say the metziah is the same as Masi Yadayim, and that's why it should be turned over to the owner. Continues the Gemara. The Mishnah said that a shivcha work, that what a shivcha earns goes to the owner. She keeps herself. I'm sorry. Ask the Gemara, hey, chidami. Ida Isis Shtei Saris, if she already bought Shtei Saris, my boy Gabay. Why is she still by the owner? She should have been freed. Vidaloi Isis Shtei Saris, if we're referring to Shivcha, who did not yet bring Shtei Saris, I Isilav, if she still has a father, Davu Hava, it should be turned over to the father. Vidi Ilaislav, and if the father passed away, then the Aloch ought to be Tapik with Mises Av. So how is she still a Shivcha? She should have been freed. Domer Shlokish, Omavriya, Kona Atzma b'misas av. If there was a girl who was sold as an Amma of Ria, and then her father passes away, that is a reason for her to be freed. Kona Atzma b'misas av m'shus ha'odom. Because Rish Lakish makes the following Kal v'choymer. He says, if a girl, because he makes the following Kal v'choymer, if Simonim don't have the ability to take a girl out of the father's rishus, have the ability to take her out of the other's rishus, so her father's death, which takes her out of the father's rishus, certainly takes her out of the other rishus. So the question is, what Amma are we talking about? Says the Gemara, V'lavi tois Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish opinion has been refuted. Says the Gemara, so why are we quoting it? Says the Gemara, name him a heart, name avati after. The Gemara is saying that with maybe our Mishnah should be another reason to refute Rish Lakish. And as Mepharshim explained, why would we look for another reason if he's already been refuted? So Mepharshim explained, because of that reason, will end up not working, we'll have another ride that Rish Lakish is wrong. Says the Gemara. Loy lam de isil av. She still has a father. So if she still has a father, why isn't it going to the father? Says the Gemara, that's exactly what the Mishnah meant. On my arrangement hand, doesn't mean that she keeps it. It means, lefuka de rabba, that her father doesn't, that her owner, I mean, doesn't get it. But it's not that she keeps it, it goes to herself. The Mepharshim point out, and what about now? What about if we don't follow the opinion of Rish Lakish, who keeps it? Many Rishlonim say that she'll keep it herself. Actually, many Mepharshim use this Gemara to discuss a famous machloikis of the Rambam and the Rambam. The question that comes up is, could a girl sell herself as an Amma Avriya? The Rambam says a girl cannot. An adult girl cannot sell herself as an Amma Avriya. The Rambam says that she can. And many Mepharshim use this Gemara to support the Rambam's opinion. Because if the halacha is that an adult woman could sell herself as an Amma Avriya, so why don't we say that that's the case of our Mishnah? The fact that our Gemara didn't offer that as an explanation of our Mishnah is a raya that an adult Jewish woman cannot sell herself as Amma Avriya. In fact, I even saw that some Mepharshim say that the Ramban must have retracted after he learned this Gemara. Metzias ishta, so we said a wife's metzias goes to the husband. If they're divorced, not. Ask the Gemara, Gersha, Pshita, if they're divorced, why would we think it goes to the husband? Answer the Gemara, Hachamai skinan, the Megeresh fan Megereshes, which means that he threw a get, but we're not sure if it was closer to him or to her. Dom Rab Zeira Mishmu, Kalmak Mishamar Chacham Megereshes fan Megereshes, if she's in that state of limbo, Balachai Mizanesaya, the husband has to still continue supporting her. Says the Gemara, Tam of my Amrabonin, Metzias Ishlabaloi. What did Chazal always say, as we learned in the Mishnah, that if a wife finds something, she has to turn it over to the husband? Kechadaloi have to have Velay Eva. We want to preserve the Shalom Bayis. Hoch is Velay Eva Veva. Here there's no Shalom Bayis to preserve. But the Rishonim point out that even though we're learning that the halach is that with this woman who's Mugureshis, Vaina Mugureshis, the husband has to continue supporting her, that's only the husband. But let's say the husband passes away, her estate does not have that obligation. Says the Mishnah, Matzah Shtar Chayv. If a Shtar Chayv was found, so the halacha is as follows. Im Yash Bar Chayis Nechasim, if it calls that there's a Chayis Nechasim that you could collect from the Kuchis, Lo Yachser, then you shouldn't return it to the Malva. Shebazdin the Fromhen. Because the Bezdin may end up collecting, using the Shtar to the detriment of the lekuchas improperly. Ein bayin chrayis nechasim yachser. Shame bezin the front and divrei meir. Because according to a mayor, we're not going to go to lekucha, so we don't have to worry. Chama imrim benkach and benkach lahi yachser. Even if there is no achrayus written into the shtar, still we always go to lekuchas. When they should bezin the front and as we will learn in tomorrow's shir, achrayus toa soifer. The halach is that you always go after the lekuchas, even if there is no such explicit stipulation in the shtar. Ask the Gemara, b'maiskin. Let's try to understand the Mishnah. Ilema sheyeh chayiv moida, that the loiva admits that this shtar wasn't paid. So the question is, kiyesh bo achrayus techosim. Even if there is a achrayus techosim in the shtar, amai lo yachser. Why shouldn't we give back the shtar to the loiva? Hamoida, he's being moida that he owes the money. So ask the rishonim, ask the achrayim. He's admitting. You could admit hadas baldin kamei oidim when it'll adversely affect you, but you can't admit to the detriment of others. And here he's admitting to the detriment of others because the lekuchas may lose. So why are we saying that it should be returned? So I saw a number of truths. One teretz I saw from Chaim Telzer, he says a big chiddush. He says when he makes this admission, he's not thinking about anybody else. When is it considered chav lacherim? When, as part of your admission, you're talking about others. Here he's not talking about others. He's only talking about himself. So it's not considered chav lacherim. Other teretz that Rav Chaim Telzer says, and Rav Shmuel Rozovsky says the same teretz, very nice teretz. He's saying like this. The truth is when we find the shtar in the street, there's a chiva shavas aveda, as we discussed so many times. Just here we can't fulfill the mitzvah of shavas aveda, because we don't know if we should give back to the loiva or to the malva. But if the loiva says that it shouldn't be returned to him, then the regular mitzvah, Shavas Aveda, kicks in, and it should be given to the malva. Continue to Gemara. V'kish ein chayiv moida. If, on the other hand, the loiva is not admitting that he still owes the money, he's saying that he doesn't owe the money, because he says that perua, he already paid, the shtar is mezuyif, it's a forgery, he's saying different things. So the question, or he's saying that I never lent the money, ki ein ba'an achrayis nechosim, even if there is no achrayis nechosim, amai yachser. Ne, de lo gavim mishabdi, even if though there's no pram batel kuchas, because there is no achrayis nechosim inserted in the shtar, mechari mikvigavi, and he's saying that it's a false shtar. Says the Gemara, lo'alam kishchayiv moida. It's talking about that the loiva agreed that he owed the money. V'ochayin etama. So if he's agreeing, why not just give back the shtar to the malva? We're concerned that the shtar may have the wrong date. That they originally wrote the shtar in Nisan, which is Rosh Hashanah L'shtaris, but he didn't lend the money, didn't borrow the money until Tishrei, and therefore Lekuchas between Nisan and Tishrei should not be affected, and they may be affected improperly. Ask the Gemara, if there is such a concern, any shtar that we have, why are we so comfortable to use? Why should we not be concerned? We should be concerned by every shtar that maybe the dates are improper and we're going to take money that we're not supposed to. Answers the Gemara. A regular situation, we have a shtar. The shtar comes to Besdin, the Malva produces it, there's no problem with the shtar. So since there's no problem with the shtar, of course we collect it. Hani Rei. Here we have a Reisa. It was on the floor. Once we see there's a shtar with a Reisa, we have to really begin to be concerned that there's something amiss here. Actually, this question, do we have to be concerned when we see a Reisa, I saw that the Shaila of Tshuvas Mishnah Lachas speaks about an interesting Shaila. He says, what would be the halacha of a pair of tefillin? We find a pair of tefillin in Sheamus. And we inspect those tefillin, and we see that they look to be kosher. Could somebody use those tefillin? On one hand, there's a reyesa. It's in the Sheamus. And our Gemara says that whenever we have a reyesa, we have to be concerned that something's wrong here. On the other hand, we looked at the tefillin, and they seem to be perfectly fine. What would be the din? So he says, we have to look at the minhag hamakom. He says, if the minhag hamakom is that people will put into Sheamus even tefillin that are kosher, if somebody passes away, the family will put tefillin into the Sheamus, so then we could use those tefillin. But if the minhag is that tefillin are normally, if they're in good shape, not put into the Sheamus, the The fact that they're found in the Shemus is clearly a reyesa here. We may not be able to identify it, and therefore the halacha is that those tefillin should not be used.